أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. ثم بسط الله سبحانه له في توبته ولقاه كلمة رحمته ووعده المرد إلى جنته وأحبثه إلى دار البلية وتناصل الذرية. We were discussing the story of Adam عليه السلام at the beginning of the creation of human being, and the story was told by Amir al-Mu'minin عليه السلام according to the Quran until Adam was deceived by Shaitan, and of course he sold his certainty and bought doubt, and he exchanged his happiness for hardship. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَهُ فِي تَوْبَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded his mercy for his tawbah, for his return, because he wanted to return, of course. There was a difference between Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan. Both of them, of course, made mistakes. When Shaitan made mistake, as you all know in the Quran, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, because you made me to go astray. So he was arrogant, still saying that it was Allah who somehow facilitated that for him. While when Adam and Eve, they made the mistake, what they said, as it's quoted in the Quran, is قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا. They said, oh our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. So they actually attributed the mistake to themselves, while Shaitan attributed the mistake to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't want to return to Allah. But Adam and Eve, they wanted to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah accepted certainly their tawbah. بَسَطَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَهُ فِي تَوْبَتِهِ وَلَقَّاهُ كَلِمَةَ رَحْمَتِهِ. And he taught them the word of his mercy, the word by which his mercy could be acquired and they could gain the mercy going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the way we have this in Surah Baqarah is after they make mistake, قُلْ نَحْدَثُ بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Allah mentions that we told them, go down to the earth, some of you are enemy to the others. Now apparently this is addressing Adam, Eve and Shaitan. All of you go from this place of my vicinity, my qurb, and go down, and you are enemies of each other. قُلْ نَحْدَثُ بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And on the earth you will find a place of abode and provisions for some time. So provisions are whatever is provided for us by the earth. And the place of abode, of course, is the expanse of the earth on which we live. So on the earth, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. Then Adam and Eve, they mentioned their remorse and regrets. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He said, oh Lord, are we wrong ourselves? And if you do not cover for us this mistake, and if you do not have mercy upon us, then we are going to be among the losers. And then of course Allah, قُلْ نَحْبَثُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. You go down, I accept your Torah, and I send you guidance. You live on the earth, I send you guidance. Whenever that guidance comes, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Whoever follows up guidance, there is no fear, no sorrow, no sadness. It means that I have completely accepted your tawbah. Go down and live there for a while, and you are in my mercy so long as you follow my guidance. In the same way that you were in the garden, so long as you follow, you were in my mercy. You had no fear, no sadness. You go on the earth, live there, it's the same thing. No sorrow, no sadness, provided you follow my guidance. So this was the type of the acceptance of the tawbah, that Allah removed the consequences. Now, one question is that when we say the tawbah is accepted and Allah removes the consequences, it means that Adam and Eve should have come back to that garden again, because the consequences of the sin was that they were removed from that garden. And Allah says that فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Adam received some words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching him how he should repent, and Allah accepted his repentance, because he is most oft repenting and most merciful. And this means that the consequences of the sin should have been removed, as is the case in other types of tawbah. Now, when you say consequences should be removed, that's right. The final consequences of the sin are removed. But certainly some effects, some immediate effects of the sin, which are of course not removable, something which has a type of real outcome, would remain. It's just like, for example, when someone makes a mistake and kills someone else, for example, and then by the most sincere type of repentance he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks for forgiveness, and suppose that he is forgiven. However, the dead person is not going to come back to life. That consequence is going to remain. The real consequences of the sin, the outward consequences of the sin, would remain. However, the final consequences, which of course belongs to the hereafter, are going to remain there. So, for Adam alayhi salam as well, the final consequences of the sin were removed. He was not going to be punished or to visit any hardship because of what he had done. However, the immediate consequence is that he was removed from that garden, coming to the earth, he couldn't have been removed. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not worry, I send you guidance, you go to the earth. This is the consequence of what you have done, you go to the earth. However, when guidance comes to you, أَمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى, when guidance comes to you, hidayah comes to you, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ, whoever follows this guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. However, those who deny and go arrogant when facing my signs, then of course they are people of the hell. Now, here Amirul Mu'mineen mentions that, of course, Allah taught him the word of His mercy, وَوَعَدَهُ الْمَرَدَّ إِلَىٰ جَنَّتِهِ, and, of course, He promised him that he would return to his garden again. Now, this جَنَّتِهِ, whether it refers to the Jannah of Adam, the garden of Adam alayhi salam in which he was living, or the garden of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the paradise, here it is not quite clear. But there is one question. If Adam committed a sin while he was in that garden, and if that garden was paradise, then of course we know people could not be placed in paradise before having their actions in this world. So it's not possible. If it was not paradise, but just a garden of this earth, for example, and Adam was removed from that to a lower station in this world, then there's no meaning of returning to that garden again, because Adam is going to go to paradise. So here there is a discrepancy, something that we have to explain. And to explain that, we should really analyze what type of garden it was where Adam was placed. Was it the garden of paradise, one of the gardens of paradise, as we have in the Quran, there are many, many different gardens for paradise, or any other type of garden. It is very difficult to suppose that it was the paradise which appeared in the hereafter, because that is going to come. It hasn't come yet. It comes through an evolution of the creation. And we have to reach that status until people could be placed in garden, in paradise or in hell. It is not created yet, in the sense that it has not unfolded itself. The world has not evolved towards it yet. We are yet to evolve towards the status of paradise or hell. So it's not there. Now, if this is the case, what was the things that Prophet, peace be on him, saw while he went to Mi'raj? He saw people in paradise, he saw people in hell. So if that is not created yet, if we are not evolved, arrived at it yet, so what did the Prophet see? Now, the Prophet, of course, actually did not go to the actual hell or to the actual paradise to see that. He passed through the time, because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time has no meaning. So things could be seen in future as could be seen in the past. What the Prophet saw was taken to a summary journey of what will happen in future. He actually saw the future rather than seeing the hell, the actual hell and the actual paradise, because that is not possible according to those who of course believe it's not created yet. Now, the question is then, what type of garden it was? Some people say, of course, the scholars are divided here. Some scholars, whether Sunni or Shia, they say paradise and hell are already created. Some say, no, it is yet to be created, we have not evolved into it yet. However, for both of these scholars, these two groups of people, the question is, well, is anyone yet placed in hell or paradise or not? And the answer is no, because the resurrection day has not come. The paradise, of course, we have in the Quran, وَأُذْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The Jannah would go forth for muttaqin on the day of judgment. وَسُؤْرَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ. The paradise is not in, the hell is not in blaze yet. It should go in blaze. So on the day of judgment, it would go into blaze. So there is no hell yet, and there is no paradise growth forth, even if it is created. Well, the world is evolving towards, yeah, it's getting ready by our actions, by what we are doing. It's being created, actually. But we do not see, it would not unfold until we arrive at that status of the world. In Surah Takwir, we have وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُؤْرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ. When the hell will be put into blaze. It means it's not in blaze yet. And when the paradise is brought forth, it means it's not brought forth yet. أُزْلِفَتْ means it will be brought into the station of the human soul, so that human souls could live in it. It's not there yet. It's not in that station yet. So, if this is the case, where was Adam? Where was this paradise? قُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Live in this, dwell in this garden, you and your spouse. What was this? Now, one theory would be that it was the final paradise that everyone would go, which I don't think is acceptable. This cannot be possible. It is not there yet ready for people to go in. How it is possible that Adam was there before all these actions going? Well, we might say by some sort of complicated justification that is possible, but not very acceptable theory. The other theory would be that it was a garden on this earth, but a very specific type of a garden. A very special type of garden with the qualities that Allah mentions in the Quran about it. However, again, we cannot find such qualities on this earth. This earth is not a place of these qualities. It's not possible that these qualities could be found on this earth. And if Adam was on the earth, then what was the meaning of قُلْ نَحْبَتُوا مِنْهَا, go down, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَعٌ مِنْ إِلَهِ, and on the earth you will find a place of abode, a mustaqar, and provision, mata, until somewhat. So, again, not very acceptable. The third possibility is, this is what some exegetes have placed emphasis on, is that, well, although Adam was living on the earth in a garden, but he was not living on the shahada dimension of that garden. He was living on the mithali dimension of that garden, the malakut of that garden. You see, we live in this world. However, we do not see things that belong to alamul malakut, to alamul mithal. Okay? Like, for example, Everything that we see in this world, it has a correspondence in Alamul Mithal or Alamul Barzakh, where the dead people will go, which is completely a different type of world. Much vaster, much bigger, much more huge than this world, of course, and the qualities of everything is different. Now, we could say that, yes, although Adam was living in that garden, but he was so close to Allah, and that garden was on the earth, but he was so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was seeing the malakut dimension of everything, just as we sometimes see in dreams, and as some people see all the time while living on this earth, they see the other dimension. You remember when Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was brought to his exile, and he was placed in a very bad situation, and also in his prison, we have the story in both occasions. Some people went to visit him, and when he saw the environment, he was placed in a type of guest house in Baghdad, which was the place of thieves and people of indecent nature, and people who went to visit him, they were very impressed by the situation where he was placed, and he told them, don't worry, you don't look at this environment, and he showed them the malakut aspect of his own environment, and it was so beautiful, so glorious, that they were astonished when they saw what type of malakut was around him. Because a good person has a good malakut around him. A bad person has a bad malakut around him. So, Adam could have lived on this earth in a garden, but he was actually detached from this shahada aspect of that, in a malakut of that garden, which was all had all the qualities Allah mentioning. And as soon as he did the sin, he committed the sin, he was banished from that dimension to the dimension. In fact, he didn't change place. He didn't go from somewhere to somewhere else. He just changed dimension. And then he was immediately in a garden, in the same garden, and with different qualities. the different qualities of that garden was that it was an earthly garden. No more something like what Adam, of course, had experienced. And in fact, this would explain the ayah in Surah Baqarah, قُلْ نَحْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Go down, but go down from where? Go down from the dimension which is closer to us, to the dimension which is farther than us, farther away from us. And that was, of course, the earth. Now, when Amir al-Mu'minin says, وَوَعَدَهُ الْمَرَدَّ إِلَىٰ جَنَّةِ, to go back to the garden. Of course, even in the garden of paradise, we go to a dimension which is much different from this dimension. That garden, you know that paradise is on this earth again, but with a different dimension. Of course, the earth would evolve in a way that would allow for paradise to be created on it. And the dimension would change. So here when Amir al-Mu'minin says, وَوَعَدَهُ الْمَرَدَّ إِلَىٰ جَنَّةِ, don't take it physical. It's just changing dimension, going closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way we would understand that when we say paradise is the closest place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course not in terms of geographical distance, the dimension is so close to the vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever wants to go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should go to this dimension which is called Jannah. And in this way, we can understand also many people, even mystics, who say that we don't want Jannah, we don't want Paradise, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are mistaken in the sense that, well, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to go to Jannah. There is no other place in the vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Quran is very specific about it. If you want Allah, you have to go to Jannah. There's no other place that you could, no other way that you could go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might not want the huri, the garden, the buildings, the jewelry, or whatever, but it's all there. But that dimension is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say close, not in, of course, physical sense, in the spiritual sense, is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, after he was, of course, deported from that dimension to this dimension, then, of course, وَعَدَهُ الْمَرَدَّ إِلَىٰ جَنَّتِهِ وَأَحْبَثَهُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْبَلِيَّةِ, he sent him down to a place of tribulation, to a place of testing. And this is, of course, what was destined for the children of Adam, وَالتَّنَاسُلِ الذُّرِّيَّةِ, and where, of course, he had to reproduce and have lots of children, and the Bani Adam should have grown. Now, the same advice given to Adam alayhi salam, that إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى, whenever a guidance comes from me to you, فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُ, whoever follows my guidance shouldn't have any fear. In Surah A'raf are given to the children of Adam, that you have exactly the same position as your father, as your forefather. That يَا بَنِي Adam, O children of Adam, you heard the story of your parents, now listen. إِمَّا يَأْتِيَ يَا بَنِي Adam, إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنِّي, whenever messengers from me come to you, يَقُصُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ, they recite to you my son, they communicate to you my son, فَمَنَ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُ, whoever follows them, follows that guidance, no fear, no sadness and sorrow. So it's exactly the same thing. After the Tawbah of Adam was received by acceptance, he was placed in a situation exactly the same as the situation that we are in now. Suppose that we were in that garden, we had committed that sin, And now we are here. Exactly the same thing as happened for our parents, Adam and Eve, as they came here. We have exactly similar situation with them. So Allah says, do not worry whether it was your parents or you had committed, and you can make sure, you can bet on it, that even if you were there instead of Adam and Hawa alayhi wa sallam, you would have committed that sin. Shaitan was so clever to know how to deceive us as he deceived our parents. So we would have come here anyhow. And the message is, do not worry, I have accepted your repentance. And now you can follow the guidance, come back. It is as nothing has happened. The only thing is that you are now in a place of test. That's it. In a place of tribulation. You are not in that place of comfort that your parents were. But suppose nothing has happened. When my guidance comes, you just follow it. There is no fear, no hardship for you, and you can come back safe to me. And this would somehow, of course, challenge the idea of the original sin, which is very much emphasized by Christians, saying that men are originally sinful and this could not be somehow washed away unless by a sort of atonement, which is Jesus Christ. And of course, they have built a huge theology upon this concept. However, according to the Islam, that original sin was removed immediately after the Tawbah of Adam alayhi salam. So no one has the stigma of that original sin of them when they come to this world. Actually, everyone comes with a pure fitrah. And that original sin which was committed by Adam alayhi salam, it was removed completely by his tawbah. فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. He just accepted the tawbah. He is so merciful that everything was clear, and Allah gives the message that you, Bani Adam, you are now on this earth in the same situation as your parents were, and you start right from the purity. There's no fear for you, no sadness. You just follow the guidance, and that's it. Now, after, of course, Adam came to this earth, and he started he and his wife started to give birth, his wife started to give birth to children, they started to reproduce, then, of course, they needed that guidance. They needed, at the beginning, Adam was there, he could guide them, but gradually, when their number increased, they dispersed upon this earth, so they needed people who could give them that guidance that Allah had promised. So, this guidance is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentions, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَىٰ. It is compulsory on me, it is incumbent on me to guide you. As he has mentioned at the beginning of our story on this earth, that you go, I send you guidance, do not worry. So he has to send guidance. And the idea at the very beginning is somehow pictured in a way that human being would not be left without guidance on the earth in one way or another. Whether a prophet would come or a book is there that could be relied upon, even if the book is somehow distorted, still if there is guidance in it and that people could stick to it, that's fine. There is guidance all the time. And of course, according to the Shia theology, there is a hujjah as well, there's a proof whose authority to that guidance. That is the fulfillment of the promise of Allah, that there should be a hujjah, a guide, all the time. Whether people accept him or reject him, it doesn't matter. The people might reject that hujjah might go and conceal himself because people reject him, but he should be there. That's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that always there would be a guide for you on this earth. Now, here Amir al-Mu'minin mentions, after the, of course, Banu Adam started to increase in number, وَاسْتَفَى سبحانه من ولده انبياء. Then from the children of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose prophets. Istifa means to somehow to choose the purest of the pure, from Safa, which is purity. So to choose the purest of the pure, to choose the purest, and from among those purest to choose the purest, and then to choose the purest of that purest, and that is how istifa comes. وَاسْتَفَى سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ وَلَدِهِ أَنْبِيَاءَ أَخَذَ عَلَى الْوَحْيِ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَعَلَى تَبْلِيغِ الرِّسَالَةِ أَمَانَتَهُمْ. Allah had taken a pledge from these prophets on revelation. أَخَذَ عَلَى الْوَحْيِ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَعَلَى تَبْلِيغِ الرِّسَالَةِ أَمَانَتَهُمْ. And of course, had trusted them, had actually taken a sort of zeal of trust from them that they have to convey his message, tabligh al-risal, amanah. Now, this concept of the prophets having a mithaq on revelation, we know that all human beings have a mithaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that inside our fitrah, that we should worship him. And that's why if anyone comes and speaks to us about God, we are attracted, because it's inside our hearts. That's why for people who are pure, who are not very much polluted with the pollution of sin, if a preacher goes and speaks about their Lord, their Creator to them, they would cry. Why? Because it comes from the inside, their soul. It is inside them that, yes, we know that there is someone out there who has created us, we have to worship him. This is called a mithaq, a pledge. And it is because this pledge is there that the prophet can actually call people toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was not there, it wouldn't have been possible to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, as Amir al-Mu'min mentions here, we forget this pledge. We forget our fitrah. And the prophets come and remind us that do not forget, do not ignore what is inside you. And of course, this is why the Quran and any book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called Dhikr, reminder. It's all reminders. Prophets are reminders. They remind us of that fitrah. If that fitrah was not there, then of course no prophet could have helped us. No prophet could have called us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is for everyone, for all human beings. Apparently, the prophets have another thing in their fitrah. And this is why when we say the prophets are born prophets, it doesn't mean, of course, that when they are born, they are prophets. No. It's just as you say, human beings are born scientists. Yes, it's true. Human beings are born scientists. It means that they have the potential to grow and to become scientists. And really, a scientist is born scientist. Because if there was not such a capacity in them, they couldn't have become scientists. The prophets are born prophets in the sense that they have an extra capability in them than other human beings. And that makes it possible for them to become prophets and to receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to convey it to other people. And this goes with an extra mithaq pledge with them, which is of course mentioned in the Quran several times. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the pledge from the prophets. وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى ابْنِ مَرْيَمَ. And we took this pledge from you, from Noah, from Ibrahim, from Musa, Isa, Isa ibn Maryam. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. Of course, from these five, the mithaq, the pledge was very strong. And was very, very strict mithaq Allah had taken from them. But of course, from all prophets, here Amir al-Mu'min actually explains this. in a very nice way, which is completely understood by everyone, that these prophets who were chosen from the progeny of Adam alayhi salam, Allah had taken a pledge on revelation from them, meaning that they could receive revelation, and they had the pledge to use this revelation for the good of the people, conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. We have a pledge, and that pledge would come in our fitrah, telling us that we have to worship our Creator. This must, we have to. Where does this have to come from? Why should we worship our Creator? Where does this should come from? It comes from that fitrah. And if fitrah was not there, you might have said, no, why should we? Of course He has created, but why should we worship Him? It comes from that fitrah. And worshipping God doesn't need any reason, any justification. We just know it. All human beings know that we have to worship Him. And the prophets don't come and tell us why. They just tell us, do it. Remind us that you worship your Lord. Do not worship anything else instead. Because this is in your fitrah, you might go astray and worship other things. Come back and worship your Lord. Now, the prophets have a pledge. أَخَذَ عَلَى الْوَحْيِ مِيثَاقَهُ on revelation. That when they receive this revelation, they have to automatically go and call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, why should they bother so much about this? Why should they? There is something in their fitrah, again, that mithaq, in their fitrah, that they care very much about this. You see, when Musa was told that you go and go to Pharaoh, well, of course, it was a very, very difficult task. I mean, you put yourself in place of the poor Musa alayhi salam. I mean, he had just fled from Pharaoh, run away, escaped from, because they were going to kill him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, go back to Pharaoh. And not only go back to Pharaoh without saying, for example, forgive me, I made a mistake. You just go and tell him, you have to obey me. You have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very difficult. And that's why Musa started arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that, why me? Send Harun. He is better than me. He can go and speak better with Pharaoh and all these things. وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ فَأَخَافُ أَنْ يَقْتُلُونَ. Well, I have done something wrong there. They might kill me. You see, why prophets should bother so much about this? Why they should go through all these hardships to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when revelation comes to them? It's just because of that mithaq which they have. They do it automatically. Allah doesn't need to tell them, go and do it. They do it because it comes from their fitrah. They have an additional type of mithaq than other human beings. As they are, of course, as they are supported by Ruh al-Qudus and by other levels of Ruh which are higher than the Ruh which existing in every human being. So, أَخَذَ عَلَى الْوَحْيِ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَعَلَى تَبْلِيغَ الرِّسَالَةِ أَمَانَتَهُمْ. And there was an amanah, a trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in them to convey His message. Okay, what was that message? This is very interesting. Very nicely, Amir al-Mu'min has put this, the way the message is coming from prophets to human beings. لَمَّا بَدَّلَ أَكْثَرُ خَلْقِهِ أَحْدَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِمْ. That when most of His creature, most of human beings, they changed the ahd, the mithaq, the pledge that they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had towards them. They changed it. We have a pledge that we worship God. That worship is something natural, worshiping the attitude of worshiping is something natural in us. We change it, we worship other things in place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when most of the people change this, لَمَّا بَدَّلَ أَكْثَرُ خَلْقِهِ أَهْدَى اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِ فَجَهِلُوا حَقَّهِ, they come and ignore the rights that Allah has upon them. وَاتَّخَذُ الْأَنْدَادَ مَعَهُ Andad is the plural of ned. Ned is similar. They actually assumed things which thought they are similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they started to worship. They gave them imaginary power, imaginary mercy, imaginary affection, and then started to call them, this is andad. وَلَا تَتَّخَذُوا لَا تَتَّخَذُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا Do not take other things to be similar as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not give them these things that only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they assumed andad with, beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاجْتَالَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَمْ مَعْرِفَتِهِ And the shayateen, the devils, they started to prevent them from knowing their Lord. وَاقْتَتَعَتْهُمْ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ And cut them off from his ibadah, his worship. And they started worship other things. فَبَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رُسُلَهِ And he therefore sent to those people his prophets. وَوَاتَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَنْبِيَاهِ And sent his prophets one after another. One after another. So they came in a chain of prophets to people. Okay, what to do? How they have to discharge that duty, that nifaq? لَيَسْتَعْدُوهُمْ نِفَاقَ فِطْرَتِهِ Now, as I said, we have a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside our fitrah. Now, the prophets come and say, Come, discharge what you are told to do in your fitrah. This is a very, very nice phrase that Amirul Mu'min uses, how the prophets actually affect us, how they come and talk to us. They talk to us from the bottom of our hearts. They say, there is something in your heart, come on, do it, stand, deliver what Allah has told you to do. So, لَيَسْتَعْدُوهُمْ مِيثَاقَ فِطْرَتِهِ وَيُذَكِّرُوهُمْ مَنْسِيَ نِعْمَتِهِ They try to remind people the bounties and favors of Allah that they have forgotten. And if you recite the Quran, you will see it's all reminding about the favors of Allah, how He created you, how He had mercy upon you, how He has provided everything for you on this earth. This is all reminding us about it, which we always take for granted. We always take that, well, they should be like this. No, it's just ignored. It's just forgotten. وَيَحْتَجُّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالتَّبْلِيغِ And by conveying this message, they actually bring them a proof and somehow stopping them from having any proof against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. وَيُثِيرُ لَهُمْ دَفَائِنَ الْعُقُولِ And the intellect, human intellect, which is the light inside every soul. This is buried under piles of ignorance, desires, passions, all these things. يُثِيرُ is plowing, is somehow bringing out. After plowing the earth, you bring what is inside out. They start to bring these intellects, which are buried under piles of ignorance and passions and desires, to bring them out. So that when that comes out, we find out ourselves. Actually, the prophets don't give us anything, as is mentioned here. They just give us back what we have. Our intellect, they bring it out for us by just reminding us, by knowing what to say, what to tell us, how to tell it to us. And then after that intellect comes out, then of course we ourselves would move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any need to be pushed or to pressurize. So this is what the prophets do. They never can pressurize, they never can push anyone. They just bring those aspects of human souls which are buried under desires and ignorance. They bring it out. وَيُثِيرُ لَهُمْ دَفَائِنَ الْعُقُولِ You see, this is completely different way of looking at all the the mission of the prophets, what they do with human beings, how they deal with human beings. This is how they actually interact, and they bring out your own intellect. Then you think with that intellect, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُرُوهُمْ آيَاتِ الْمَقْدِرَةِ. Okay, we leave this, inshallah, for next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰهِ
How did the Prophet Adam receive guidance? To Wahi or to understand what it
means? Yeah, he had direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
And so was he, for his children, was he regarded as a Rasul, or did he make a distinction between Prophet and Rasul?
Yes, yes, he was a Rasul, yes. Yes, he had a message. As we have in Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. So he was one of those Rusul which was actually chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from among his progeny, from among his children at that time actually. Yes.
In light of what you were talking about today, what does it mean when they say that the children, the child is born on the scripture? Does it mean, for example, that he
it means that that machinery which is needed to foreseeing malakut, which is needed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is needed to take him back to paradise, is all installed inside that baby. But it has to develop, of course. Now, when it develops, then it might divert and go astray. However, at the beginning, it has that capacity. It's just, you want to imagine, you imagine it, when a computer is built, it has all the capacities to, you can put any program on it, and you can format it and all these things. However, you might format it wrongly, you might put wrong programs on it, but it has all those capacities. We have that capacity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to go to paradise. This is our fitrah. And then, of course, when we develop, it depends how we develop, what teachings we are given, then we might get distorted from our path. Yes. Yeah, you go ahead. Okay.
Just on the topic of different dimensions, I understand that the Prophet Isa and other prophets were raised to other dimensions during their life. So which dimensions were they raised to? What happened to their physical
body? That's a very difficult question. Well, maybe in case of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, his body completely was taken to the other dimension as well. And he's not living on this earth in this dimension anymore. It's quite exceptional. Something which never happened. But usually people live with their bodies in this dimension and they can cross to other dimensions. As this happened for prophets all the time. They could cross to malakut very easily. And in the Quran we have كَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We showed to Ibrahim the malakut of heaven and earth. He crossed to the malakut while he was living on this. But the body, the physical body is here. Of course, it's the soul which set on this journey of going to different dimensions. And Prophet, peace be on him, went to different dimensions as well. Even he crossed the dimension of Malakut to the dimension of the Qiyamah and seeing the paradise and hell and all these things. So it is possible, but physical body remains here. The only exceptions are like Prophet Isa alayhi salam, or as we have it in some traditions about Prophet Idris alayhi salam. In those exceptional cases, well, we really don't know what happened.
Isn't there a belief that the physical journey from a physical journey?
Yeah, a physical journey from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then from there he had his spiritual journey to different dimensions of the world.
Did he
supernaturally
body?
Yeah, he remained in Masjid al-Aqsa. And that's what we have, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa liyuriyahum min ayati So the ayat was shown there in Masjid al-Aqsa when he was there. Yes.
Yeah, I just concluding from the last part of the thing that there cannot be any conversion in religion because it is the logical conclusion. Can you conclude that kind of statement that religion is natural and therefore there is no need for any kind of conversion? I mean, anybody says that Islam or any other religion was brought by force, then it does not make sense.
But you are actually questioning the verse La Ikraha Fid Din, is it?
No, I'm just saying.
Because it clearly states it's not possible. No, it's not possible. Compulsion is not possible in religion. You cannot force an idea or a special religious idea into a heart. It's impossible. But of course, it should not be taken as saying that, okay, the rules of Sharia should not be enforced because there's no compulsion in religion. That's in the heart. Of course, every law should be enforced. You cannot say that we do not enforce law because La Ikraha Fid Din. Now, La Ikraha Fid Din means you cannot enforce into the heart anything. And it is impossible, yes. It should come from inside. Yes.
You said that the paradise and hell are being created. They're not yet there at the moment. So, what has happened to the 124,000 prophets? Where are they at the moment? And also people like Yazid, Muawiyah, what is happening to them?
They are all in Barzakh now. They are in the middle world. Of course, after this world is the middle world, which is corresponding to Alam al-Malakut. And then after that is the Alam which comes after that, which corresponds not really corresponding to Alam al-Ughud, but it's much higher than Alam al-Malakut. And that is when people are resurrected again, they correspond to that world. But all the souls, whether saints or wrongdoers, they are now in Barzakh, in a place which is in between this world and the higher world.
What about the prophets?
Yeah, they are there. The prophets are there as well. Yeah. They are all around, very close. Sorry?
What's happening in Barzakh?
In Barzakh, people have different status. For, of course, very good people, they are living a very high standard of spiritual life. Not only spiritual life, also a life which corresponds to the world of Malakut, like a material life without matter. And they enjoy in the gardens and in all the provision that Allah provides for them there, without having this material body, of course. And they have close, of course, spiritual experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For evildoers, they are experiencing a terrible punishment there. There is something like hell, but it's not, of course, yet hell. It's just a hell which corresponds to that Alam al-Malakut, and they are being punished. And in fact, about Fir'aun we have that النار يؤردون عليهم غدوا وعشيا. Every morning and every evening they are being somehow treated by fire of that barzakh which is provided for them. ويوم القيامة, and of course on the day of resurrection, أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. Enter, they are made آل فرعون to enter the worst type of punishment. So that's a punishment. Now, both these people, they know that they are going to a higher world. That is paradise and hell. Now they are in Barzakh. And these good people who are in very good provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَهُونَ, they are alive, they are being provided by their Lord, beside their Lord, in the vicinity of their Lord. They know that when this middle world finishes, and the day of judgment comes, they go to a better place.
So it's like a rehearsal?
Not a rehearsal. It's another type of life. You see, we are having a life here. You might say that this is a rehearsal for Barzakh, and that's a rehearsal for hell and paradise. No, it's a life. It's a different type of life from this life. is another dimension, a further step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the final destiny. And those people who are being punished, they know that when this finishes, they have to go to a worse place. So there is a type of ambivalence here. They would like this to finish because they are being punished. They are in torture. And they wouldn't like it finished because they know what comes next is worse. And for the saints, the same. They don't like it finished because it's a very nice type of life. But they also like it finished because they know what comes next is better. Now, for ordinary people, this was for very good and very bad people. Ordinary people, they almost go to a deep slumber there, deep sleep, until the day of judgment comes. They don't feel anything. They don't feel anything. The souls don't feel anything until the day of judgment comes. And then God raises every human being. The souls go back to bodies and everyone is raised. And then, of course, that is when the journey towards Allah starts. People then reside whether in hell or in paradise. This is the situation in the middle world at the moment.
So after you finish with hell, when you leave hell and then you finish,
God forbid you.
No, but then if someone, then did you go to heaven after
It depends. Some people would stay there forever. Some people, yes, they somehow get elevation and eventually go out of hell. It's a very long story and why this happens and why they should go there for a while and then go to paradise. There are justifications for all this. Yes, it might happen for some people. But, well, I do not advise it even for 1 second to go there because that's terrible. Yes.
And how can you know whether these
things,
is this information that you have from
Ahadith? Mainly from the Quran. Quran explains all these very clearly. And we have, of course, from Ahadith, but Quran is very clear about all these stages and stations. Yes.
Is it from, Tawheed that you have to understand it from, or is it the obvious meaning?
No, it's obvious meaning. You just put the verses beside each other and just compare them and analyze them. You find out about all these. Yeah. Okay? Okay, thank you.